Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Sound guy, this is going to be a weird one, man, but hopefully it's good. Week 22 of 50, the undertow, the session plus scoreboard check. It's late on Friday, May 28th, or early on Saturday, May 29th. Doesn't really matter. I'm at Ocean's 11 at the end of a very long and fun day. I worked for a couple hours when I woke up. Then I lifted some weights and stretched. Then I made some bacon. I ate the bacon while corresponding with a bunch of people on my laptop, mostly on Slack, in the DGAF Slack group. Then I showered, got dressed, grabbed my golf clubs from my closet, locked up my granny flat, and got into a Jeep that was waiting outside for me. The owner of this Jeep is named Zogs. Well, he has a real name in the real world, where he is uber successful, but in the community we both interact in, online and at meetups, this community called DGAF Community, he just goes by the screen name Zogs, and I just go by the screen name DGAF. Yeah, it's a screen name I chose out of thin air a decade and a half ago when I was creating an account on 2+2 poker forums with no plans to ever post there. So let that be a lesson to all of you. Choose your screen names wisely because you might just become linked to one of them forever. Anyways, if you're wondering if DGAF Community is my community, it's not. I mean, it is mine just as much as it's Zog's and every other member who abides by our one and only community rule, don't be a nit. But aside from being the president of this thing while it grows, I'm no one special in it. Just another person who wants to get the most out of life. The most fulfillment, like that deep inside your heart shit that only comes with give and take, with everyone, always. Zogs drove us from my granny flat in North County, San Diego, out to a golf course in Fallbrook, California. On the way, we talked about life, relationships, crypto, and most importantly, our upcoming golf match. You see, Zogs and I were meeting 10 other like minds, or rather, like hearts, at this golf course in Fallbrook, California. For a day of fun, sun, laughs, cold beers, camaraderie, and friendly competition. And of course, gambling our balls off on our respective teams. Three foursomes scrambling against each other, each hole worth a certain amount, with that certain amount increasing every 6 holes. You know, just another DGAF community meetup, which take place often these days. In Las Vegas and San Diego, the two places I reside, but also sometimes in Chicago, Louisiana, and more places all over the world, more and more often, as our one rule community continues to grow organically. And all our meetups pretty much have the same vibe. No one gives a shit about where you come from, how successful you are, how much money you have, how in shape you are. Nah. It's, are you ready to be communal and have the best time of your life in a safe and loving environment so you can get a quick break from your daily grind, so you can go back to it refreshed with a smile on your face and probably a little hungover and sunburnt too. But so what? Let me take a sip of this coffee. Golf was a blast. The teams were made as close to fair as possible. That's always the goal with our gambling, to make it neutral EV. And the match was very close throughout. The previous golf meetup, I was bombing drives 300 yards and putting for shit. This time was kind of the opposite. I could not hit a good drive to save my life. But also, we got to the course early. I think that's what uber successful people like Zogs do. They show up to stuff early. And while I was greeting my fellow community members and setting up side bets and all that, I was also putting in work on the practice green. Buried in these DGAF community golf meetups lifetime, like over 3K probably, and by far the poorest person in the community, I was hungry for a win. And that's what hungry people do, I think. They practice. I made a putt for birdie and the first skin of the day on hole one. It wasn't a long putt, but it was our last chance after all three of my teammates had barely missed it. And then I struggled for the next several holes with everything. Luckily, my teammates kept us afloat. And one of them, Moose, made a 20-footer to earn us our second skin on hole 8 or 9. Can't remember exactly. Then, the skins started getting bigger, as mentioned. And they all started carrying over. And the way we do it, if two teams tie for the best score, all three teams are eligible to win the carryovers. My group was the last of three groups to tee off, something we would normally flip for. But it was just mandatory in this case because a couple of my teammates were running late. So we had the advantage of knowing what score we needed to get on each hole to tie or win. And best yet, if the other two teams in front of us had tied a hole, we knew that we had a free roll and to only go for the win, obviously. No playing anything safe at that point. By hole 14, there were a lot of dollars to be won. The stakes had quadrupled from the start of the match. In Macaroni's group, that's his name in the community, Macaroni, they had made a 3 on 14, a tough par 4. And the other team, Generic's team, the one Zogs was on, I believe their team shit the bet on this hole. So we needed to make a 3, a birdie, just to tie and push all the money to hole 15. And like the first hole, all three of my teammates missed our birdie putt. But this birdie putt wasn't as makeable as the one we had on hole 1. No, instead of 5 feet away with very little break, we had about 25 or 30 feet, and it broke pretty hard left up by the hole. And I had either consumed just the right amount of Coors Light at this point, or I just had absorbed the right amount of vitamin D from the sun, or it had just been enough time away from my daily grind, or I just got lucky, or all the above. I rolled that thing in, pure. My second long putt of the day. I sunk a long one on 10 to force a carryover too, after my teammates started giving me shit for being the anchor of our team and not really contributing. And this was our team's third long putt made. Remember, Moose had one too. And that's how you win scrambles. You make long putts. Except this bomb I dropped on 14 didn't win anything for our team. It just kept us alive for all the money. But also, it got us really fired up for the first time all day. And oh yeah, it got your protagonist, Dragon Man, locked. Like when I'm at the poker table and I know exactly what to do in every spot instantly. Hole 15 was a long par 5 straight uphill. I hit my first bomb off the tee all day. And then we kind of fucked up on shots 2 and 3 and left ourselves about 40 or 50 feet for birdie. Well, we knew from the Slack app on our phones that a birdie would win us all the money and a par would just mean another carryover. The two teams in front of us both made par here. So, yeah, we had the best thing in gambling, a free roll. My teammates made valiant efforts on their birdie attempts, but none of them really came close to sinking this super long, uphill, double breaker. And as mentioned, our squad was fired up from the previous hole. Too fired up, in fact. Too loud and active as I was lining up my putt attempt. And foolish or not, I felt like I could make this fucker. After all, I was locked now. At least with my putter, I was. And I'm 47 years old, which means I'm old school, if not quite old. I like to have fun on the golf course, but what's most fun to me is competing, getting locked, and then executing for big money in the high-pressure spots. So, I asked my team, specifically Laces Out Dan, someone I go way back with, another member of this amazing community, I asked him if he would please shut the fuck up and get out of my line of sight. He was doing some bullshit up by the hole and yapping about God knows what as I was getting ready to putt. And you know what this motherfucker did? He called me a prima donna. And goddammit, that made me mad. So mad that when he finally stopped yapping and moved away from the fucking hole, I sank that double-breaking uphill 40 or 50-footer. And in the process, I locked up a very nice win for our squad. I started the putt left, and I hit it firm because 40 or 50 feet uphill is no joke. It soon broke hard right, rolling smoothly across the perfectly manicured green. And then it broke left and fought gravity as it approached the center of the cup, and then plop. I threw my putter into a nearby bunker and walked off the green like a, what? Like a prima donna maybe, but whatever. Back-to-back bombs and a winning day already secured. Let me do my shit and enjoy your paydays, teammates. The last three holes were very relaxed. We won a good amount overall on the round, and I don't think anyone cared all that much. Most of the people that make up DGAF community do very well in life, actually. They just have one thing in common. They like to degen from time to time. No, most of them do like to degen from time to time. But the one thing we actually all have in common is that we're all about that give and take, that communal life, that two-way street shit only. Okay, but why did I tell you all about this golf round in what is supposed to be a poker session review? For many reasons. One, I wanted to give you all a taste of what some of the Patron-only drops of sessions are like. I mean, half of the Patron-only drops are poker session reviews like you're already used to, but the other half are just life story updates. And I promise, they're usually way more self-deprecating than braggadocious. Only thing I normally ever brag about is my kids. Two, I hardly took any notes for the session I'm going to review today. So I need to do some writing or this would be a 3-minute episode. Three, well, you'll understand the third reason before this drop is over. Let me take another sip of this coffee real quick. After golf, we caravanned over to Harney Sushi right by Ocean's 11. They accommodated our large group very well and on short notice. We feasted on rolls, edamame, all that, and we drank more. And of course, we talked about our respective golf rounds, where things went right in my team's case, and where things went wrong in the other team's cases. Long putts. You gotta sink them if you want the money. We settled our side bets at the table, prop bet on how much the bill was going to be, fired sports against each other, all neutral EV, of course. No one gets juice because there's no edge seeking in this community. And then we did credit card roulette for the bill. Poor Macaroni. He had a tough day gambling. Very nice of him to pay for everyone's dinner, though, don't you think? Next, we caravaned over to the close by Ocean's 11, where we met up with even more members of DGAF community, the ones who weren't able to make it to golf. Some folks played poker right away when we got there, and some, like your protagonist, Dragon Man the Prima Donna, chilled in the bar for a while, playing crocodile teeth and gambling on what the bartender thinks. So the same concept as the game Antonio Sfondiari came up with called Laden Thinks, but instead of asking Johnny Laden questions, we asked the bartender. And ahead of time, we bet on what she would answer. And she was a sport, answering all our questions while also providing amazing drink service in the Ocean's 11 bar. And guess goddamn what? This bartender, she's a member of DGAF community too. Shit is spreading, becoming more diverse, stronger, more significant, a fucking working example of the way things can be if everyone just agrees to reciprocate, to be communal, to be about the group instead of the individual, to not be a fucking nit. Ugh. So, yeah, it's late on Friday, May 28th, or early on Saturday, May 29th. Doesn't really matter. I'm finally stumbling downstairs to play my second session for week 22 of season 4 of Sessions. And is this how you want to go into a high-stakes session against opponents like Garrett Adelstein, who have been in the lab all day while you were at the golf course having the time of your life? No, it's not. Which is why the previous week of Sessions was titled, Not Ready. I know I'm not ready to battle against the best again right now. Mainly because I'm currently too committed to this DGAF community. Too happy to orchestrate and participate in meetups. Too set on living my life to the fullest amongst a chosen family. That's what Spaceman, another member, a scientist and professor in North Carolina, calls it. A chosen family. And, oh yeah, I'm not only committed to living, like really fucking living for the first time in my life, but I'm also super committed to documenting my journey because people need solidarity and relatability. And more than that, as mentioned a million times in this podcast overall, and at least once in this drop, everyone needs regular escapes from their daily grinds. Okay, now let's gloss over the session I played on this night real quick, and then let me read you some more shit I wrote. It'll all make sense when I'm done. And then we will check the Save the Princess scoreboard and call it a day. In next session review, I promise there will be an abundance of hand histories. Okay, so the first note I wrote in my phone at whatever time it was is wow. So the notes aren't going to be great when you sit down in this state, but I bluff all in four times. That's the second note. Bluff all in four times. And the third note is IDK, man. So it's wow, and that must mean the game's good, and I bluffed all in four times, and I don't know. So what that obviously means is that there were short stacks at the table, and in the 2-5 game was 2-5-10. It almost always is 2-5-10. Whatever game I'm in, it's almost always three blinds. Straddle has to go on, or I'm leaving. And, you know, I'm the one that's going to provide the action and the talking and whatnot. So, and these people don't know that I've been drinking all day. Why? Because I have a mask on, right? And there's plexiglass. So that is one benefit of this shit, is that I know some people who normally don't like bluffing, they feel better with a mask on, right? They feel like they're harder to read. I just like it because I can bluff. People don't know I've been, drinking all day. I'm sorry, my phone. I need to silence that. My sound guy was supposed to do it, but I don't know. He's not perfect, I guess. So, yeah. So that's, I can just sit down and start bluffing all in because you can't tell, that I've been drinking all day. And then I have pocket sevens, and I four bet. I open and people call, and then someone ships it. A short stack ships it with king queen, and I four bet to get everyone else out. And it's 7-7 against king queen, and I win. And yeah, so the session's going fine. And I said it's not how I should approach a high stakes session. Of course not, against really good players. Well, luckily, that's not what I'm up against here. And I am very good at playing when I've been up too long or drinking too much. I just focus on the table and that's it. I get lost, right? Mad scientist mode a little bit. And there was a guy that looked like a pro or an aspiring pro, and I was talking to him a bunch. Just, I don't know, asking if he was a pro. Just like, I don't know. And I showed him a few bluffs, and I made top two, and I just overbet the shit out of that, and he couldn't fold to me, obviously. And then I started saying, I'm going to be a pro, and the dealer's laughing, and other people are laughing, and that's my favorite thing. I've been a pro for longer than anyone you know, right? But I've transitioned. I was already like a vet in like 2008, right? And so I transitioned. I learned by 2008 that if you show up looking like a pro and acting like a pro and talking like a pro, it's bad for business, right? Obviously. And so I transitioned into DGAF at that point when I had to move. I had to move out of San Diego because people didn't want me to play with them anymore. I didn't give anything back. All I did was show up and listen to music and play perfectly pre-flop. And that was enough to crush. And I probably played pretty well post-flop too. And I learned when I hated that really nice people didn't want to play with me, and I was nice, right? But they didn't want to play with me anymore. And then, I got my life threatened too by some asshole, but that's fine. It was more the nice people, they didn't want to play with me. I learned. I went from, clueless new pro showing up there like, oh, I'm here to take your money, to a little more coy, a little smoother, right? Like, I don't dress like a pro. You won't find a backpack on my back when I'm walking in. You won't hear me talking about ranges or anything like that. You'll hear me talking about the game that's on TV or what's in the news or just dumb shit, right? Because that cultivates a much better game and people want to give you action. And so I've transitioned so far that now it's my favorite thing is when I can say, like, people say, what do you do? And I'll say I'm a poker pro, and I'll start laughing, and most people will have no idea that I actually am, right? And so I don't know, it's just some dumb thing. I like to troll myself at the table just because I've been at the table so many times. And but one guy, the guy next to me, finally said, I think you are a pro. And I was like, then you just say I'm pro-choice. Just stupid shit like that. It's easy, and it's not dirty at all. Some people think you should go in there and you better let them know you're a poker professional. Nah, fuck that. This is a game we play for money. Poker's a soft hustle. Like, right? Like, people that never bluff try and act like they're bluffing. Well, I just go in there, you know, and I don't act like I'm a poker pro at all. And then, you know, so I don't know. But then I wrote, silly, how many steals? So, yeah, I just, one transition I made maybe a few months ago is I just stopped playing really bad hands unless it's a perfect spot for it, right? It's hard when you've been playing against much better players if you've been playing much bigger, your whole career, it's hard to, like, you think I can get in there with anything pre-flop. And that's not the case. And many people have said that, and I argued with them, and I'll concede that maybe I was wrong. That you have to, you just can't, you know, open shitty hands on the button and just, no. Especially in a 3-blind game, and yeah. So, but what this does, if I end up being the tightest player at the table often in these full ring games, because I just don't open dog shit under the gun, anything, you know, but I do, you know, use my tag image, I guess I have, even, you know, and I just, like, if I've folded for an orbit and then a good squeeze spot comes, I just squeeze with whatever I have. Kind of like I played the 2019 main event, if you listen to those, and those are Patron only now, but I just, you know, that was the most focused I was in poker. I played sober for 5 days or whatever, and I was, you know, most of the time I just stole from the small blind. I just waited for a late position opener and I 3-bet. And I would win right there a lot, and sometimes I win on the flop. And I would have deuce 8 offsuit. I don't care. That's how I've played poker. And, you know, that's why I've called it dog shit aggressive, because I don't open bad hands. Like, you know, I don't. I just, it's just lighting money on fire. But if you get in these really good spots where you know the people are just going to overfold, well, then I just go for it when I've been folding, right? When the game flow is correct. I don't know. So I just stole forever. And obviously these notes suck. That's what's going to happen. That tells the story, right? And I played for 4.5 hours. And the last note is, it was 2-5, 10-20. So it's always going to, if I play 2-5, it's always going to be 2-5, 10. If I play 5-10, it's always going to be 5-10, 20, right? And so on. Right. Well, this was 2-5, 10, 20. So we made the 10 official. Now someone can put the 20 on. And there were some, you know, weak limps. And I think the biggest stack was $610 that I'd limped and was, you know, that I would be up against. So I had 5-4 of spades and I shoved $610 because I had been folding for a while. And it's only 30 big blinds. And the guy who put the 20 on, I had king queen, and he called and he won. So punted off 610 there, kind of, right? It's just going to work a lot. People aren't going to want to. That's the thing about live poker. They don't want to gamble for their stack, even against the guy who's been all in a bunch, right? And it's just like I fold for an orbit and go all in. And so I don't know. It's kind of unlucky that the guy with the 20 has a hand he can call it off with. And everyone else folded. I was, you know, my reads were right about everyone else. I should never read against the guy who hadn't acted yet. And it's very debatable, shoving 5-4 of spades there. But it's a good hand, you know, that if you get called, it has some equity, and 30 big blinds I'm the only one at the table thinking about it as 30 big blinds. I don't know. So I played 4.5 hours, as mentioned, and I won about a life. Yeah. So, in next session review, we'll have better notes, of course. But hopefully you've enjoyed this kind of, glimpse into my life better than just a retelling of a session. I don't know. But we're going to go outside and check the STP scores on my giant phone, see how we're doing, see if there will be sessions, season 5. But before we do that, let me read you some more shit that I wrote after another sip of coffee, prima donna style. One more sip. I got my pinky out. I'm so prima donna right now. Okay, I talked earlier about finally living my life for the first time in my late 40s. And what the fuck does that mean, you might be wondering? Well, as far back as I can remember, I've been held back by really self-destructive tendencies. Like, real fucked up shit where I honestly don't think I have any right to be happy. I'm not worthy. That's real. It's irrational as fuck, obviously. But also, I promise you, it's real. It's the way I've always felt deep down in my subconscious, where that's the actual ruler of how we act and feel. Yeah, in my opinion, it is. And I don't need to go into my hypothesis as to where that unworthy feeling and those gross self-destructive tendencies come from. I've done that enough in this podcast over the years. I just need you all to understand that shit's always been there, deep down inside my subconscious. And it really starts to fester whenever I start gaining momentum in life. Like, I'll start working on a goal or just general success or happiness. And I'm a hard worker. I'll work very hard. And the moment I start making some real progress, I start to feel more and more this fucking force below the surface, pulling me away from whatever I'm about to achieve. I can literally feel it. And yeah, the closer I get to achieving something good for me, the stronger that force gets. And then inevitably, I lose the battle. And I end up fucking up or going on a bender, or losing interest in whatever I was doing. Something like that. So before I can ever cycle all the way up in life, or reach my potential, if that's a better way to say it, with regard to happiness or success or whatever, I always find a way to start cycling back down. That force below the surface just pulls at me so hard, so relentlessly, that I end up powerless to it every time. And you, the listener, may or may not be able to relate to that. Depends on who you are and what your life has been. But I promise you, that has been my experience my whole fucking life for as long as I can remember. You can actually feel the force. As you all probably know by now, or all the longtime listeners know for sure, I hit rock bottom in life in all ways in 2017 at age 43, and it sucked. That force beneath the surface had finally pulled me all the way down to the very bottom. And in the 4 years since then, I've been scratching and clawing, not only in an effort to resurface, but also to hopefully climb to new heights in life, to finally reach the top of my cycle. Something, as mentioned, I've never been able to do. Early on in this journey, back up from the very bottom of rock bottom, I started this podcast that you're listening to now, Sessions. And it was cool at first. I liked learning a new way to create content, and my listeners liked the stories of my poker sessions. And then something crazy happened. I put all the hand histories and crazy player descriptions aside one day, and I just started spilling my guts into my microphone, telling my story the way I've always witnessed it, through a pretty blurry lens. And at the time, I was struggling hard in poker. I was in the abyss, and I was way stressed out financially. But also, I had just coached my daughter's 3rd and 4th grade youth basketball team to a championship. So instead of talking about poker hands after I hit record, I just started reminiscing our championship run. An improbable one. And I was fucking passionate, man. And that's when Sessions changed. let me take one more sip because that team was called the Lakers that won the championship. And this mug I have my coffee in today has my daughter, known as Little Miss Fuego on this podcast, in her Lakers jersey. And I think it's time for a sip of coffee anyways. So I still reviewed every session I played after that turning point in the podcast. And that turning point was in an episode in early season 2 called 40 Minutes of Hell. And obviously I'll continue to review all my sessions, all of them that I play, as long as this podcast exists. But also from that point on, I started telling my life story, using my microphone, not only as an audience, but also as my therapist. And I didn't sugarcoat much. And that cost me some things. Mainly some family members who were never supposed to hear my spew, heard my spew. And I quickly became more or less family-less, estranged, whatever the fuck people want to call it. But also, I gained some things. Most importantly, I think I gained that therapy, as mentioned. 4 seasons into sessions, I think it's safe to say that I have quote-unquote worked through my past better than anyone I know. By a lot, actually. And as Frank Sinatra would say, I did it my way. Into a mic. Relentlessly. At dingy motels while I was homeless. In Vegas, at a luxury apartment for a while. And lately, at this granny flat that I rent in North County, San Diego. And it's not over, this therapy, this digging up the past and learning and understanding and accepting. It's an ongoing process forever, probably, for me. But I do actually feel like the bulk of the work has been done at this point. The bulk of the weight has been lifted from my shoulders. And holy shit, once I started really spilling my guts, beginning with that drop, 40 Minutes of Hell, I gained a new career. Objectively, I have some natural attributes that make me a good podcaster. I have the gift of gab, for sure, and I can spew off the top of my head with the best of them. And I honestly don't really care what people who judge others think of me. Because I think judging is stupid, pathetic, embarrassing, etc. And intelligent listeners love that shit, that unabashed shit. And I can be funny sometimes too, which never hurts, obviously. But really, all that shit aside, the real reason I have a new career is because I put in the work. I practiced. I was hungry for a new career. Fuck that. I was starving for a new career. And if hungry people practice, starving people practice obsessively. And that's what I've done. I've recorded over 700 drops of sessions already. And you know what? I'm finally starting to make some long putts in the podcast game too, if you will. So that's cool. Not just hard work paying off, but having a new career. One that I love. One that could potentially be very lucrative. That's what people tell me. If I keep putting in the work. Which I'm committed to doing. No matter how strong that force below the surface might become, trying to pull me away from everything I want. But at least I now know I'm entitled to. I mean, not in that way. I don't think I deserve anything. I don't think anyone does. But goddamn, I do think it's okay for me to come all the way up and live the shit out of my life if I earn it. And hopefully my subconscious will get that message soon. Sometimes I get so lost podcasting that I don't feel anything below the surface pulling me away from all the good shit. And that's the best. I mean, that force is a lot more moderate than it used to be anyways, due to all the hard work I've done, understanding myself and others. I think that's why. But it's still there, almost always. Something for me to note at all times, if not always contend with. And for sure, it still gets stronger the more I gain momentum in life. But now, here's the shit I really want you to hear. The way I chose to monetize this podcast, basically have listeners voluntarily support me on Patreon instead of me reading some cheese dick ads every few minutes. This model, this monetization model, has connected me with the very best people. For me. People that are like me. Generous to a fault, up for a good time, always ready to help, and okay with receiving it too. And one of these supporters, Jeb Beach, a.k.a. Fast Actor in the community, because he's a bona fide actor and acting coach, he told me a couple years ago that this thing I was building, DGAF Community, it was the real story, the end game of Sessions, if you will. And I don't know if that's true. I mean, when he said it, it hit my ears in the most pleasing way. And I want to believe he's right. And I think he very well might be, but only time will tell, obviously. For now, though, I do know this. While I still have that undertow trying to pull me away from happiness and success, because that's just my makeup, no matter how hard I work to change it, I also have this new undertow, one that is getting stronger and stronger with each passing day. And get ready for this. It's actually pulling me towards all the good stuff. So if I slip up and revisit my self-destructive ways, which I will, of course, from time to time, it almost doesn't even matter. I've got this force pulling me up now, no matter what. It's like my whole life I've been battling myself just to survive. As mentioned, that undertow pulling me down has been undefeated up to this point, against my free will, if you want to call it that, in all the big spots in my life. And it's definitely pretty strong right now, if I'm being honest, as things are starting to look up for me professionally for the first time in a very long time. But at the same time, I also legitimately feel this new undertow tugging on me in the opposite direction, in the good direction, basically telling me it's okay. You're going to make mistakes, lose focus, get lazy sometimes, and so on. But as long as you keep spilling your guts into that microphone, as long as you keep surrounding yourself with your chosen family, DGAF community, and as long as you keep building that shit and keeping all the nits out, you're going to finally make it to where you want to go, no matter what. You think Trevor Savage is going to let me fail? You think Jody is? You think Kat Spiros is? You think Smells is? You think Laces Out Dan is? Well, maybe on the golf course he is, because he can't stop yapping after 3 Coors Lights or whatever, but not in real life. You think Zogs is? You think David is? Man, it's silly. I could go on and on, but the answer is no. This new undertow is too strong. I legitimately feel it, especially whenever I start slipping. And ain't that some shit? Okay, one last sip of this coffee, and then let's check the STP scoreboard on my giant phone as we walk outside and wait for a lift to take me back to my granny flat. All right, just need to cash out real quick. Thank you very much. This is for you. Yep, another win, even though my eyes are in the back of my head. It's poker. Okay. And okay, now walk with me outside. We're going to wait for that lift. And remember, this parking lot, Ocean's 11, it's a little sketch sometimes from what I hear. Okay. And yeah, I clicked wait and save on lift, right? So it might be a few minutes. I'm trying to save a few bucks when I can. Okay. Let me pull out my giant phone here and read you all the STP scores. The Save the Princess scores off the NGC site. That's the Nevada Gaming Commission. Okay. The first line under STP, you know, on this website says hours 230 of 220. Well, so 10 hours ahead of pace. And that makes sense because we had 223 hours after week 21. And then I played, you know, 7 more in week 22. 4.5 hours in the session you just heard about with shitty notes, but so what, that tells the story. And 2.5 in the first session I played this week. One where things were going poorly, and then I flopped a straight flush against 2 guys who could never fold to me with their holding. So that was nice. And if you want to hear about that straight flush hand and really all 700 or so drops of sessions whenever you want, well, you can do that by getting your own RSS feed at patreon.com for $4.22 a month or more. And it's just so easy to do that, to sign up on Patreon, to hook up that RSS feed. And then you have sessions, you know, if this works well, to put you to sleep or get you through your commutes or your exercise or whatever it is, your lovemaking, yeah, you're going to have just endless content, right? 700 plus, I'm not done. And also, you get membership to the aforementioned a bunch of times in this drop DGAF community. If, you know, and that's just a perk. If you think it's right for you, something you want in your life, and you're willing to be communal, it's a pretty fucking cool perk in my experience. Okay. The second line under STP says poker rags 538 of 405. And that's something. Crushing. Poker rags is crushing. And I want it to crush way more because the pieces are in place and the opportunity is there. And I don't want to get complacent. So, yeah. But let's hear who scored points for us in week 22. Who the MVP was, the most valuable purchaser, and who got employee of the week. Okay, so JJD in Tavernier, Florida, got us a point. And this is a VIP PokerX customer and a patron. And so is the next person, Jimmy Donuts in Fairfield, California, got us a point. And then Eli in Duxbury, Massachusetts, put up 2 points. Thank you, Eli. And then Jeremy in Fernandina Beach, Florida, got us 2 points as well. Thank you, Jeremy. Tim in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 2 points. Thank you, Tim. And then Ian in Boulder, Colorado, another patron, got us 3 points. And that's what you have to get 3 to qualify for MVP. We didn't have an MVP last week because no one got 3. So this would qualify, except someone got more. But before I tell you about that, thank you, Ian, and everyone else. And let's build a little bit to find out who the MVP was. Your week 22 MVP, most valuable purchaser, hails from St. Louis, Missouri, and goes by the screen name NeuroNerd. Congratulations, NeuroNerd, and thank you for putting up 10 points. Oh my God. And I know Neuro bought a couple of the new designs, the punter and the overserved design. And we had 21 total points this week, and that's solid. And Neuro almost had half of them. And thank you so much. And thank you to everyone else as well that I read off. And now it says on my phone here, and I got one of those screen protectors that makes it dark for anyone on my left or right because I'm always writing shit about them at the table. Anyways, it says employee of the week, I can add. Nice. And it says in parentheses, getting back into that. Getting back into it, need that. Sorry, I'm not the best at reading. And so that's true. I can add was the first person I added to the team. And he's been, very instrumental in making this shit official, but he's also been incredibly busy at his main hustle. Well, I think that's slowed down a little bit, and he's getting back into it, and he's putting his ideas out there for us, which, we need. So Nevada Game Commission's correct. Good choice for Employee of the Week, in my opinion. Okay, and thanks to everyone who put points on the board. Towards a fifth season of Sessions next year, you guys are part of the story. And if you listening would also like to become part of the story by putting points on this board to hopefully keep this podcast going, and or you just want the most comfortable clothing on the planet, that's no joke. Head over to pokerags.us and just start shopping. You deserve it. And remember, anything you buy from Sessions under, if you click on DGAF, anything in that section, including the nothing design, which is my friend Cindy, and she's eager to get back in the action soon. You will soon. What? Oh, you are? She said she's running away. I don't know if she's being serious or not, but anyways, she's got a great design. It's her face and it says nothing below it, and that's in the DGF section on Poker Eggs. And yeah, anything you buy from there, you get 2 points instead of 1. Okay. The third score under STP says results 60 of 45. So that means we had 2 more wins this week. And I already told you that we did, but that puts us at 32 wins and 12 losses on the year. Yawn. Okay. The fourth score under STP says patrons 184 of 220. So, wow, this is we're falling farther and farther behind pace. I'll never understand when to use further and farther. But I know one's a distance, but what do you do in this case? Farther is distance. Further is something you can't measure. So I guess this is farther behind pace. I don't know. But 184, when the pace is 220, that's not good. And 184 is less than we had last week. So I don't know. I have to figure something out here because this is my salary. And yeah, I don't know. But let's hear what happened in this week. Well, Sir Axel signed up. Thank you, Sir Axel. That's 4 points. Need those four. Appreciate it. Join the community if you want, if you think it's a fit for you. Nicholas Schmidt signed up. Same thing. Needed those 4 points. And make sure you hook up your RSS feed. Endless session stuff. You can go listen to 40 Minutes of Hell. You can go listen to me interview Garrett Alstein. Me interview Matt Burke. And just on and on. Yeah. And then we lost one. So that's minus four. And then someone that was at 1250 went to 844. It's fine. And then Brian signed up. It's 4 more points. Thank you, Brian. Same rules apply. You know, you just click on posts when you're on Patreon, and now they're unlocked for you once you become a patron, and you can just scroll down to hooking up your RSS feed, and it's very easy. It's just like 2 simple instructions. And then you can just go to dgfcommunity.com and create a screen name and a password, and if you're a patron, it'll let you in. And then we lost 4 more patrons. They didn't. It's just people who were declined for too long. And yeah, if you're declined for more than 2 months, I just have to block you because it's not like I'm mad at you, block you, but just like for accounting purposes and for RSS feed purposes. And there were 4 people that were past 3 months, and I had to block them. So we lost 4 patrons just with one, you know, swoop. And that's going to happen. So that's minus 8 points total. And really, if you leave your payment declined for more than 2 months, that's you're passively telling me I don't want to support anymore, which is fine. I'd prefer people just would cancel their pledge and put in the exit survey why. It'll help me, right? But leaving it declined for several months is just a passive thing. And it's fine, but I have to, you know, I have to be the one to just end it. I have to break up with you. It's okay. I don't know. So minus 8 points. That's not the best. That's the first time we've been negative. And I don't know. I have to figure something out. I'm doing stuff on Instagram and Twitter. I don't know. Well, hopefully it'll work. But I guess, I don't know. So let's talk about the score, the fifth and final line under STP, the consolidation of the 4 scores you just heard about, and it's called Countdown to 2022, because if we total 2022 points by the end of this year, well, Sessions lives on in the next year, which is year 2022. Amazing. Okay. This one says 1,012 of 890. So we're already almost exactly we're a little over half the way to our goal, and we're only 44% of the way through the journey. So yeah, we're ahead of pace, and that's good. But I do need to figure out something with the patrons. I need to, you know, have a better way to communicate decline payment methods. I need to get more of them, and the ones I have are insane. They do this, you know, they're just way too generous, and I don't know. The only reason I do feel comfortable with it is because I do think I'm coming up. And when I do come up, I'll be able to reciprocate their amazing generosity. I mean, I already am by providing the content in the community, but you know what I mean. Re-reciprocate. Who knows? Before we say our goodbyes, I do want to give a special thanks to everyone who's put points on this board this year. It's a make or break year for Sessions. And again, all the patrons, the active ones, for their continued support. You all are something. And I'll see everyone, patrons and non-patrons, tomorrow when I interview someone I mentioned in this drop, Jeb Beach, a.k.a. Fast Actor, who has been through a similar journey as the one I'm going through now, but he just did it in the acting world, not in the poker world. And I think you're going to like that. And whether you are a patron or not, whether you listen to Sessions Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, or just Thursday and Friday, I highly recommend you fill your Wednesday podcast slot with my favorite podcast, Raising the Nuts. Check it out, subscribe, give a 5-star review. Okay, later. Well, I hope you enjoyed this drop of Sessions. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. And that's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know, we're trying. Larger than life. I guess I'm gonna need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player. Cause otherwise.